You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, we heard this morning in the announcement that Easter is fast approaching. It's not far away. So why would I mention Easter now if it's still a couple of weeks away? Well, we've just had a series of messages on leading. We've had a message on leading in the family. We've had a message on leading in challenge. And we've had a message of leading in life. But I want to tell you this morning, the best kind of leading that you can do is leading someone to Christ. So this morning, Easter gives us that opportunity to make a space where we have the power of invitation to let people be led to Christ. We have the power of invitation. Easter gives us that opportunity. This is why I mention Easter. Easter is our time to be on mission for His mission. Let me say that again. Let me just think about that for a second. Easter is our time to be on mission for His mission. So what is mission? Well, the Cambridge Dictionary has a definition of mission. It's an important job that someone is sent somewhere to do. Any work that someone believes it is their duty to do. So as a Christian, what is our mission? As a follower of Christ, what is our mission? See, mission is the vocational calling of the church, the greater church, the large church, the church of Christ, not just individual churches, but it's the calling of the church to see the gospel spread into all mankind. It is the mission of an individual church. Each church that believes in Christ as the Son of God has a mission to see His gospel expand within their local communities. It is the mission of each member of each church to see the gospel expanded into the world in their local marketplace. Jesus came with a mission. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Pretty plain and simple that Jesus had a mission to come to earth to save the world. But in case you're not convinced, John 12:44-50, Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light in the dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I will not judge those who hear me but don't obey me. For I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know His commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say." Jesus had a mission to see the world saved. He came into the world. Jesus had one mission: to see people returned to relationship with God, to see the restoration of man from the fall at Adam's time, to see the restoration of man into relationship with God. God has the same mission as Jesus. Jesus outworked the words of the Father. Jesus did what the Father asked Him to do. It is the mission of God. 2 Peter 3:9. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise, as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He is giving everyone space and time to change. If God is giving that space, and that's his mission, what is your mission? What does your mission look like? How does that look for you in your life at Easter? See, our church has a mission statement. Our mission statement says we exist to care for our community and connect every individual and their families to God, to see them loved, reached, included, and restored. That's the mission statement of our church. It echoes the sounds of God. It echoes the heartbeat of Jesus. It echoes the heartbeat of the Father. It should resound within us. It should resound within us, every individual. Our heart, that all would have the opportunity for relationship with God and know God's grace to all. See, our mission statement and our heart reflects the very words of God. It reflects the mission of Jesus. Jesus fulfilled his mission at the cross at the first Easter. You see, when Jesus went to the cross and fulfilled his mission, he opened the door of salvation to all. His mission was completed at Easter. So this gives us an opportunity to talk about what Easter is with us and to those that we are dealing with in the community, to those family members that we have that are not in relationship that we want to see reached, included, and restored, to those people in our workplace that we want to see reached, included, and restored. Can I even say to those that you don't like, to those that you think deserve the punishment of God, we would love to see them reached, included, and restored. Do you have the heartbeat of Jesus? So I've started looking at Easter. I started to look at Jesus and what he was doing at Easter time. I started to look at the Easter story. I started to look at what Jesus did leading up to Easter. And as I started to look, I saw that Jesus spoke to his disciples about Easter before it happened. He spoke to his disciples about what was going to occur. And we're going to have a little bit of a look at some of those things. We're going to look at it from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus predicted his death three times. Three times. Not twice, three times. My fingers don't work that well sometimes. Neither does the brain. Jesus predicts his death three times. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. A second time, not long later in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 17, verses 22 to 23, after they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed at the hands of his enemies. He will be killed. On the third day, he will be raised from the dead." And the disciples were filled with grief. Did Jesus tell his disciples that to fill them with grief? No. He told his disciples so that they would be prepared for what was about to come. See, if Jesus didn't inform them of what was going to come, what was going to come in front of them, what they were going to see him die on a cross, they would have all just fallen away. They would have all just dispersed because they weren't going to be aware of the 3 days later. They would only be living in the here and now. A third time, Matthew 20. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. See, Jesus told his disciples about his death and resurrection to prepare them so they would know what was going to come. So when it comes to Easter, we need to speak about Easter before we get there to prepare the way for people to understand what they're going to come into, for what's next. You see, Jesus was strategic about what he told his disciples. Let us be strategic in how we go about Easter in a few weeks' time. Let us be strategic in how we approach our friends and family, our work colleagues, those around us. Let us be strategic in seeing them come to a place where they have an opportunity to respond to Jesus. Because if we're not strategic, we're missing the best opportunity that we have. Easter is one of the best opportunities. As we heard, people are more inclined to come to church at Easter. This is one of our opportunities to see people position themselves where they can receive from God. We want to be in a place where we plan our strategy to strategize to see people come into that position. God is the master strategic person. If he played chess, he would win every time because he knows the end move from the beginning. He knows the moves he needs to make on people's lives to strategically put them in the right places to see the outcome that he has. And I wonder sometimes if we see that in our lives. God is strategically placing you in places that you might not feel are where you belong, but God knows the end from the beginning, and he strategically moves his people into the place where he wants them because he wants you to be activated to see someone else come into his kingdom. You've only got to look at the story of Joseph. God strategically moved him into Egypt to save the nation of Israel. When Joseph was sold into slavery, he could have easily said, well, this is not where I belong. I belong as the ruler of my family. I belong as the head of my family. When he went to prison, he could have said, this is not where I belong. I don't belong here. When he became the prime minister of Egypt, he could have said, this is not where I belong. I belong as the ruler of my family. But God was strategically placing him in the right position to see the salvation of his people. God is strategically placing you into the right position to see the salvation of his children. Every person with breath is his child. Every person with breath is his child. So let us plan. A wiser man than me once said, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. So let us plan. Let us be strategic. Here are a couple of strategic thoughts. This is not exhaustive or extensive in any way. Who are you going to invite to our Easter services? Think about that. Don't wait till Easter to do that. How are you going to invite them? Will you use an invitation card? Will you use a text message? Will you invite them face to face? How will you do that? Which service is right for them and their life? You don't have to get someone to both services. How will you bring the topic up? How will you put the idea forward? Sometimes the natural things are the easiest ways to bring it into conversation. For example, we've got an Easter egg hunt on our Easter services. Do you think your kids might like to come to that? Do you think your kids might like to join in on that Easter egg hunt? Hey, why don't you come along? It's non-intrusive. It's not sitting there saying, You need to come to church and get saved because otherwise you're going to hell. That's not a warm, friendly invite to anyone. It might be truth, but it's not going to lead anyone. It's not the right strategy. You've got to be strategic. The natural attractions of Easter buns and Easter eggs can be the hook that brings people in. Give them a choice. Give them advance notice. Hey, which service suits you guys better? We've got these times. That'd be awesome. Invite them early before they book out other things. No, I'm going away camping. No, I can't do that. Oh, I've got to wash the dishes. No, invite them early. Give them lots of space. Gives you multiple opportunities to bring up the options. So we need a strategy in order to get the best possible response. We need to start talking of Easter now. What it means to us, what it is truly all about, what we have to offer, what is available to them at our services. We need to talk about our services. We want to create a space for people where we can lead them into a place of salvation. The natural can lead someone to a spiritual place where the spiritual salvation power is manifest because they are in the right position. The power of invitation. So the first Easter, Jesus at the cross. Luke chapter 23. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him, and they said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked. They offered him wine vinegar, and he said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then Jesus said, "Remember me." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. Some things that I want to pick out from that at the first Easter that we can use for our Easter. See, we have the power of invitation to help people in the right position for response. Jesus ministered at the first Easter. "Father, forgive them, for they know what they do." Who did Jesus say that to? Who was Jesus directing that statement at? Why did he say that? He wanted people to hear those words. Jesus offered forgiveness to all who were at the cross, to those who were near and far, any that heard those words, those that had shouted in the crowd for his death, those that drove the nails into his hands and feet. Father, forgive them. Those that had turned away when he was on trial. Father, forgive them. Those that were coming to view the spectacle. Father, forgive them. To the soldiers, to the crowd, to anyone who heard those words, he offered forgiveness. We have people coming at Easter that fit some of those categories. They're coming to view the spectacle. They're coming because they want to see Jesus crucified. They're coming because they want to see what it's all about. We've got people that fit categories like that or similar to that. And we as the church, we as the body of Christ, need to make a way for them to receive his forgiveness. We need to shine his forgiveness and acceptance to all who pass through those doors on those services. But not just at Easter at all times, but especially at this Easter. We are the ones who shine his forgiveness out. We are the ones who are the light shining into those places. We shouldn't be coming with a condemning spirit. We shouldn't be judging people as they walk through the doors. If someone walks in and they're tattered clothes and they haven't had a shower for 3 days, we should be giving them a warm, loving embrace and saying, welcome. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here today. Welcome. Jesus never, ever made it hard for people to follow him. He said, come follow me. To the tax collector, he says, come follow me. To Zacchaeus, he says, I must eat at your house today. Jesus never made it hard. To the woman caught in adultery, he says, does no one condemn you? Then neither do I. Jesus was open, offering his loving forgiveness to everyone. Let us be the same way. God, let us be the same way. Let us offer your loving forgiveness to everyone. And loving means living in the way he commanded us to live. And God's command is this, that you live a life of love. You heard this command from the beginning. 2 John 1:6. That's the command, that we live a loving life. This is not something that is done only by those on stage. This is not something that is done only by those rostered on to serve in the service. This is not done by just those hosting and working in the lounge, in the cafe. This is not done by only those playing. This is done by all. This is done by all. If someone can come to a service, see someone smile and receive salvation, as I know someone has, it is the testimony of somebody I know. They saw someone smile and that smile led to their salvation. Wow. Your smile, your radiance can lead to someone's salvation. This Easter, let us minister to those that come in his love. On the cross, Jesus offered salvation. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Salvation was easy to receive. It was accessible to the thief. It didn't change what he had done or his punishment, but it changed his destiny. Isn't that what we want for people? Don't we want them to have a destiny with Christ? Don't we want people's destinies to change? It might not change their situation of where they are right here and now, but it changes their future and their destiny to live with God forever in his kingdom at peace. It changed his destiny because that thief was in the right place. Might not have looked like it. that he was in the right place. The natural situation he found himself in, placed next to Jesus. The natural situation of coming into church and being placed next to Jesus puts people in the right place. We desire that this year. We desire that this year at Easter. We desire for people to be put in the right place so that they have the opportunity to say, Jesus, remember me. So they have the opportunity to confess that Jesus is Lord and make him Savior of their life. Jesus, remember me. We want them to be able to be in that place. We don't want stumbling blocks in their way. Jesus offered salvation. We are the ones that now take that salvation that Jesus offered, that he gave to us, and we portray it and we freely open it on display for all to see. His salvation operating in us, poured out through us to others. It is through us that others see the salvation of Jesus. It is through us. If the band could come, my next statement might be a little controversial to some of you, but let me explain it afterwards. Easter was not about Jesus. Easter was because of Jesus. Easter wasn't about Jesus dying on a cross. You see, Easter was about salvation of other people. The salvation was available because of what Jesus did at Easter. It wasn't about him. It was about making an opportunity for others to get saved. This Easter is not about Jesus. This Easter is about those in our community that need an opportunity to receive him. We might look at that statement and think that's not quite right. That doesn't line up with what I've been told all these years. Jesus is what Easter's about. Oh, it's not about Easter eggs. Easter's about Jesus. It's not about the Easter bunny. Easter's about Jesus. No, it's not about him. It's because of him. It's because of him. He doesn't want us to come at Easter and go, hallelujah, praise your name, Jesus, because you gave salvation to me. He wants us to take what he's given and go, Jesus, we want to be able to give what you gave us to others. He doesn't want you to go, Jesus, we just remember you at this time because of what you did all those years ago for me. No, it was always about others. It was always about others. It was always about others. It was never about just Jesus. And this Easter, it's not just about us. It's about others. We need to be activated in our faith and extend ourselves and go, yes, Jesus, because of you, Easter is here. Yes, Jesus, we recognize it's because of you that we have this opportunity. But it's about our community. It's about our family and our friends coming into relationship with you. This Easter, let us make it about others. Let us provide the space for them where they can be brought into relationship with God. For people who already have that relationship, let it be a place where their relationship becomes deeper and stronger in Christ. For those that don't have a relationship with God, let it be the place where they can have that first encounter with God. This Easter, we have the power of invitation to help position people in the right place for response. We get the privilege of inviting people so they can see Easter as the hill of grace that it truly is. Just stand as the band just leads us in some worship.
Just as you stay standing for a moment this morning with your eyes closed. Yeah, this morning we've been talking about the power of invitation. And it would be remiss of me this morning not to give the invitation to people in this room and people who are watching online this morning. And if you don't know Jesus personally, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, if you haven't been forgiven of your sins and been empowered to walk in a new life, this morning I want to give you the invitation. I want to give you the opportunity to find hope, freedom, and salvation in Jesus. Just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment, if that's you this morning, you're like, yeah, you know what, I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I am not walking with Him, but I want to walk with Him. I want to know Him personally. If you're at home, this is for you as well. And God loves you so much. It says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you'll be saved. I want to, just with everyone's eyes closed, a moment focusing in on what's actually going on in the room. I want to give you the opportunity to confess and believe that Jesus is Lord. If that's you this morning, just with no one looking around, I want to invite you just to lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to respond to Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. And I want to follow Jesus. Is there anyone this morning say, yeah, I need to do that? Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. Anyone this morning? Awesome. Thank you. So good. You can put your hand down once you put it up. Anyone else this morning? If you're watching online and if you put your hand up, I see that this morning. Anyone else in this room say, I need Jesus. I now realize I actually can't do this life alone. I need Jesus in my life. There's an invitation for you this morning. Don't miss this moment. You've been positioned in the right place next to Jesus this morning, and He wants to invite you into a relationship with Him. With our eyes closed this morning, I just want to invite you, if you put your hand up, maybe you didn't put your hand up, you're like, I really want to, but I just want to invite you to, we're going to pray a public prayer this morning together, inviting Jesus into our hearts. The church is going to help you pray that prayer. If you're watching at home, please pray this prayer with us this morning. What do we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank You that You died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that You are Lord and God raised You from the dead. Today, Jesus, I choose to follow You. I thank You that I'm in relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. The greatest prayer you can ever pray. The greatest prayer you can ever pray. Accepting Jesus into your heart. But I want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you've prayed it again, on the way out, one of our host team is going to be able to pass you a little booklet that talks about your first steps and what you need to do now. If you want to talk to someone, I'll be at the front after the service. I'd love to talk to you about the decision you've just made. If you're at home, go to community.gc.org/first-steps. All the information is there. Get in contact with us. We'd love to talk to you about what's next.